What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny Screencast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the big daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Tim, you know, we're winding down our time working from home. I thought I'd go out the way I came in, crisscross applesauce on the floor.
That's how it goes. Of course, we also have his Christmas in September, Joey Noel.
Hello. Look at my cute dinosaurs.
They look great. Great. There's dinosaurs on Joey's sweater, everybody. If you look at them upside down, they look like big cats, but rest assured, they're dinosaurs. We're also joined by the producer / seducer, Nick Scarpino.
For whatever reason, I thought Greg had a cocktail in his hand before he threw that thing up into the air and caught it.
Nothing like a little 9 a.m. cocktail on a Thursday.
Yeah, I don't know what the Millers do in their house.
Have you ever met this beat guy? Have you ever met him? Because you turn him on and he rolls around and he just does mouth sounds.
Oh, I like that. I do mouth sounds. So does Andy. Mm-hmm.
And rounding out this group of mouth sound makers, we have the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Hey, guys.
I like how you gave up there because you know there was a 50-50 shot of you fucking it up within notes. Gotta love it.
Can I give a quick shout out before we go? I want to give a shout out to the Miller household. Because a lot of people wait until October 1st to start decorating for Halloween, but you guys did it early, and I appreciate that. I'm coming over to get some candy tonight.
As you know, Nick, I am the king of Halloween. So when the mood strikes and it gets to be spooky time, bet your ass I'm out there decorating. And when I say your ass, it's Jen. Jen decorated most of the time. That's why I held on to Benjamin.
Look at
this mother. I call this guy Jack.
Can't hear any of it.
Oh, God. It makes it even better.
Can't hear anything.
I don't think it's making any noise.
It's singing. Look at him go.
Of course, this is the Screencast where we get together to talk about the latest in TV movies and trailers. We're popping off right now talking about Star Wars Andor, She-Hulk, Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, and Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon. I didn't know if I was going to say House of the Dragon or if I was going to say Hot D, so it came out House. Anyways, of course, you can get the show on youtube.com/kindoffunny where you can watch it live, or you can watch it later if you can't watch live when we record it. That's totally cool. If you want to listen to it, search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Screencast, and we'll be right there for you. If you wanted to get the show ad-free, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like Fargo Brady and Molecule, our Patreon producers, have done. Today we're brought to you by NZXT and Uplift, but I'll tell you about that later. Andy Cortez, let's start with you. What did you think of this episode of She-Hulk?
I thought it was cute. I'm going to verbatim say what I said during the messed up recording. I thought it was cute, but I'm having sort of the same issues that I had with Rings of Power. I just want to move this along a bit quicker. Also, I think we all kind of saw the big twist of who the boyfriend really was. I just feel like that was really predictable. But it was still neat. I thought it was kind of cool to see a bunch of different characters that exist in this world that are not that aren't human, really. I think it was just kind of, I thought it was funny to see Emil Blonsky in his sort of element, living and existing, and actually changed. I think that's one unpredictable part of it, is like I always kind of expected him to turn the corner and be like, ha, I gotcha, you know, like the reason I had you doing that meditation was because I wanted to have you here and, you know, take your DNA or whatever. But I think it's actually neat that he's just that way now. So I thought that was kind of an adorable little twist. I don't know. Let's get the ball rolling. Let's get some villains in here. Let's get some fights going.
Greg Miller, what'd you think?
Damn, I'm hurting for a year. And I love this episode. And I want to say, I didn't start from a negative place, but I was cold on it when we started getting going. I thought, yeah, it was going to be a little bit predictable what's going on, yada, yada, yada. And when the parole officer calls her and then they get up there and then we get introduced to what Emil's doing up there, I was all in and had a great time with it. I would go the opposite way of, like, I thought it was going to be predictable that the boyfriend, Josh, was going to be kidnapped or something. I thought he was going to get walked out and get abducted by whatever the guy's brother is that we keep talking about on the show. And so I was actually really relieved when he turned out just to be the bad guy, or be a bad guy. I was like, oh man, good. Cause I was afraid Joey, I'm jumping out of it right now. I'm reaching for your hand. I hope you got me on this. I was afraid we were getting to a Babes in Toyland situation. The original Babes in Toyland, where they kidnap Tom, they throw him over, and we think Tom's dead for a long time. But Tom's not dead. He shows back up. But I could not deal with the fact that Jennifer was going to be so silly as not be able to think maybe he got kidnapped by bad guys. And the fact that he is a bad guy is like, whew, dodged a bullet there. We don't have to worry about it. I thought their relationship was cute. I thought their little flirtatious action, the dates and stuff was cute. Like I said, when we got to Emil's thing and we get introduced to the bull and the non-matador, I was like, all right. And then I thought it was really cool the way they did the whole circle, counseling thing, that Emil really is connected to it. And then to see Jennifer come around on it really finds some peace. I really like this episode.
Joey.
I was like pretty not into this episode. I think most of it fueled by what Andy was saying of like, this is episode 7. Now I'm fully aware there's 9 episodes in this show. So it felt like a little weird to seem like we have so much left to figure out and to, in terms of the story, and then have this like completely kind of non-related for the most part. Plotline. I think it worked for like the standalone wedding episodes. I think having 2 back to back felt a little bit, and I think it's because we didn't get enough Nikki in this episode, and I feel like she's the one that does a lot of the like chip damage for the humor for me. So I felt like 2 episodes back to back without her, I was like, oh, I like miss her and her funny little quips and stuff like that. The Josh thing I thought was kind of predictable. I like that they didn't tell us till the end, so we were still, because I had kind of forgotten about it a little bit, and like I'd gotten distracted. But I did like the montage that they had at the beginning. It felt very much like Lana Condor, Noah Centineo, and to all the boys. They're running around the town having cute little dates and stuff like that. And I think
she's doing like a shot, and she does like the shot of vodka or whatever. As they go, she takes the magazine down and puts the book down. I was like, this is cute. This is like a little rom com.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job with that. I think the music for that was really fun and stuff too. I'm ready for some answer. I'm ready for Daredevil. I'm ready for what the fuck is Titania doing? Where is this all going? I'm very excited to get to the end of this and get some answers.
Nicholas.
See, I'm the opposite of Joe. I mean, this show for me, the expectation is just that it's going to be fun. And I really liked this episode. I am looking forward to Daredevil. I am looking forward to sort of seeing it wrap up. But this one for me is not, has never been about like sort of the overarching story. I want to give a shout out to the way this episode was shot. I think the first like 15 or 10 minutes with the montage and all that stuff, and her waiting for him, and then her cell phone screen turning into the movie screen, all that stuff, I thought was really, really creative and well done. And then the really kind of to subvert that expectation of Emil, like I had anxiety when she was sitting in that group, because I was like, oh, they're going to, like the second she turns back to Jen, they're gonna all attack her or whatever, but they didn't. And I was like, oh, and then I started worrying about Josh. I was like, oh, maybe he did get abducted or something happened to him. And then of course they cut
Babes in Toyland situation.
And that's exactly that. They actually called this episode Babes in Toyland. She-Hulk's in Toyland, Andy. But no, I continue to like the show. I thought the humor for the most part worked for me in the group. I really liked Tim Roth. I didn't think we were gonna get this much Tim Roth. And I'm glad we do. And I hope he comes back as this character later in movies, who is just this guru who's trying to help supervillains through it, you know, who are just going through it and bring them back to something good and productive in their life. And I love them and reconnect with themselves. And yeah, man, I'm hurting for a year and I'd get in that bad boy too and start having some hallucinations whenever Greg's ready.
Oh man, you say the word. You in this new studio, let's hotbox it. We can hear it right there. We got 2 bathrooms.
Turn the air conditioning off. It helps. Ask Kevin. It just does it immediately.
Tim, I want to hear your opinions on this episode, but I also do want to chime in and say that, like, yeah, I'm very much in the Nick camp of I don't have questions for the show. Yeah, sure, of course, Daredevil's going to pop up, and that'll be neat. Every morning on a Thursday when I wake up, I look at Twitter. I'm like, is this the week? Is this okay? There's not a billion Daredevil games, so it's not this week. No big deal. Like, I'm excited for that. Fine, but like, I'm not watching this episode with bated breath of like, what is going to happen? I'm just enjoying Jennifer Walters being Jennifer Walters. But Tim, I've already talked. Fuck me. I'm stupid and stealing the spotlight from you. What did you think of this episode?
I love watching Jen Walters beat Jen Walters in this episode. I thought did that really well. Overall, this is by far the least notes I've ever written down for an episode. So I think that that means it's probably my least favorite, because there's least favorite memorable things like Easter egg stuff and just jokes and lines I wanted to write down. But there were two very specific ones that, at the very least, this episode made me actually laugh out loud when she said, "This is Porcupine. He's a Porcupine." That's all it takes for me. And if you notice behind Emil, there's like a bunch of products that he has, and one of them is Obama Stay. It's like a bomb mixed with Namaste.
There was another one that said, "Today is today," and then
Emil. That's his quote. Like, Emil is fantastic. So the fact that we're getting more of him in this form specifically, I thought was great. The using him to kind of show off a bunch of the F-list villains that we saw in this one. I loved the back and forth between Man Bull and the Not Matador, like all that stuff I thought was really funny and could only work in this type of show, because like I don't know how the hell we got to a point that type of humor and that stuff and situation works in the MCU, but they pulled it off, and I thought that they balanced it really well with the kind of tone and voice that the show's had from the beginning, which is just toxic masculinity is the villain in every shape and form, and you kind of just see that seeping through in all of the different storylines and all the different like little court cases we've had so far. But like Joey was saying, I do think this episode kind of was weaker because of the lack of Nikki, because she is a gift and I just want more of her. Give her a spinoff. I want to keep talking about this show, but before we do that, let me tell you about our sponsors. Shout out to NZXT Canvas Gaming Monitors. We are huge fans of NZXT here at Kinda Funny. And I gotta say, these monitors, they're Andy Cortez approved, Kevin Coelho approved, and Tim Gettys approved because of their sweet 1440p resolution with 165 hertz refresh rate and 1 millisecond response hits. That sweet spot for gamers due to the balance of picture and performance. They're available in 27-inch and 32-inch curved displays, variable refresh rate support for all of the major GPUs. They provide an excellent gaming experience for any game genre. You can get the monitor just alone, you can get it with a stand, or you can get it with some pretty cool mounts. There's built-in software support with NZXT Cam that lets you control all your monitor settings directly on your PC. No need to mess with the clunky hardware menus to lock in your desired settings. They thought of it all. It's sold exclusively on NZXT.com. You can learn more about the NZXT Canvas gaming monitors at NZXT.co/kindoffunny. That's NZXT.co/kindoffunny.
Shout out to Uplift for sponsoring this episode. I've been using my Uplift desk for well over a year now. I love the thing so much, I decided to write a rap song for them.
The build quality is real good. It's made of real high quality wood.
They didn't ask for it. I just did it anyway. Getting my Uplift desk immediately improved my mood. Whenever I'm on shows, I'm standing up, I'm feeling a lot more energetic. And also, I kind of feel like I was just maybe creating some bad habits sitting down at a desk all day. I would move my legs up, I'd sit underneath my legs on my chair, and eventually all that stuff just created really bad back pain for me. Choose from laminate, whiteboard, bamboo, solid wood, butcher block, or even custom solid wood or laminate options. Uplift Desk won New York Times Wire Cutter's Best Standing Desk from 2019 to 2022. And while I'm at it, I'm just going to give them an award as well. Best standing desk that I use in my bedroom from when they sent it to me until now. Uplift Desk have a 15-year warranty. They ship the same day you order with free shipping and free return shipping. So if you've been feeling the effects of sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day, maybe you want some more energy in your life, maybe you want to do squats in the middle of a Zoom call or something, uplift your life. Go to kindoffunny.com/uplift.
Greg Miller, what do you have to say?
Yeah. Nick, can you guess what I'm holding?
Oh, can I guess what you're holding? Well, this is fun. Okay. This is super fun. Is it a frozen Snickers bar? Not a Snickers ice cream bar, a frozen Snickers bar.
Close. It was a little barn. I had a little barn in my hand.
Oh, that's it. You know what that reminds me of, Greg? Great British Bake Off, the newest season. They make houses on the second episode, and Joey's not watching it. How dare you, Joey? Shame.
There's a lot of things to watch. What did you say? What do I think of the barn?
I said Joey doesn't like British people.
Very much like British people. What else you got in that barn? How many animals?
It would be amazing if you pulled the She-Hulk out of that barn.
We got the little piggy, and then we got the little chicken. There is a little cow that moves, but he is Ben's favorite, so he is definitely somewhere else.
I need the audience to know that.
You ever seen this guy? He's stinky from Moomin.
During the ad break,
did Greg make that entire thing up?
During the ad break, Greg said, Tim, can you throw to me as soon as we come back from the ads? And I legitimately thought it was going to be something mildly important.
Right.
And it just turned into a kind of funny podcast bit. Like, and it's a
props. Why can't I use my props?
Not only are all these visual bits for podcast listeners who cannot see the visual bits, but they have nothing to do with She-Hulk at all. So so far, it's a really great episode.
More dangerous than Greg with a lot of things in his arm's reach.
Yes.
There's one thing I know, and that's that Nick Scarpino loves Greg Miller humor, and he loves props. So if I can just be pulling things out, you want to see this? You won't believe it. This hippo talks in French. It's crazy. Man,
yes, Joey Noel, what did you think about the hard cut to some mbop?
The music. I feel like every episode has some musical call out. It was Who's That Girl in the first episode. This one shocked me. I think I like hit my desk like, oh my gosh, they're playing Hanson. And it just confirms that they have nailed the like millennial demographic for the show. At least for me, speaks directly to me.
Yeah. I like that line.
Music was awesome this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand Tim having very little notes in this episode, because this episode reminded me of The Fly in Breaking Bad, where it's so insular. It's just at this location. There aren't a lot of moments where we're, you know, jumping out to different B plots and C plots. We're stuck with these characters the whole time. And it very much is you're getting what you see right now. And there isn't a whole lot to sort of dive into. So I feel like this one might be one of the more polarizing ones, because it is kind of in the middle of the season when I thought we were getting closer to what the mystery could be. And then they threw another kind of wedding episode at us, like Joey was mentioning earlier, and it had less other characters doing things. It was just... It's all here. It's all contained in this sort of retreat, which I think can kind of be a bit polarizing, especially when we're kind of waiting, when we're all like, when is Daredevil going to be here? When are we going to see his ass?
Just enjoy the comedy. Don't worry so much about the devil. He'll find you.
He's going to find you.
I just don't think this episode was as funny as any of the other ones.
I don't either.
Like,
this is a heartfelt comedy.
Yeah, well, you guys just don't, you're not as introverted and as self-reflecting as me and Greg are. That's your problem.
Oh, is that really?
Andy and I are introverted compared to you two, okay.
Yeah, you guys are introverts, okay? You guys need to look inside yourself, get in that smoke yurt.
Introspective is the word you're looking for.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
I liked the whole kind of retreat situation of like the way they dealt with Jen as an audience member, like watching her and like having those moments like Nick was talking about, of like the anxiety of like, what is going on? Are they gonna like betray her and like trying to get her to turn back? But even just the little like rising tension of the dialogue of that vampire guy just keep talking about her blood, it's like that shit was so funny.
I love that. It's like, oh, somebody bail me out.
That guy was really awesome. Like
in the retreat where she forces a previously on, where she's like, you don't even remember this guy, do you? Previously on this guy.
That was great.
I wasn't expecting all the visual flair in the beginning of the episode. That's something that we saw a lot of in Ms. Marvel. So I wasn't expecting to see the cell phone coverage and kind of those motion graphics follow her wherever she went. And I was kind of waiting for like, all right, when's the first fourth wall break? Or are we not doing that anymore? But this episode felt like it was insular because maybe other people worked on it. And I don't even think that's necessarily true. Like it felt like they just brought in somebody else to kind of like, hey, want to work on an episode of She-Hulk? Here's all you got to know about the character. So it kind of just felt different and it felt a little bit out of place, in my opinion.
Any final thoughts on She-Hulk episode 7? Babes in Toyland.
Thank you.
No, I mean, I enjoyed this episode, but I'm taking them all sort of one at a time. So I hear everyone's valid criticism, but again, you're not as introverted as me and Greg are.
Mm-hmm. You don't exactly. Like I'm right there with Nick as a big introvert. You know, I feel like this is what I've come to expect from the show now. That I'm going to get 30 minutes of enjoyable superhero, supervillain, MCU comedy. And if it's like laugh out loud or whatever it is, or if it's trying to get you to guffaw every time, that's, you know, whatever. But like, I enjoy this as just a slice of life of what's happening in Jennifer's life.
More Nikki. Yeah. Stay introverted, everybody.
Where's Madison?
Where's Madison?
True. I think that this is going to be a really good binge show. And if you're going to binge it all, this episode, I probably would have less criticisms of in the general thing. But I think week by week, I need a little more.
Great point.
Just a little bit.
See, I think it's, for me, one of the interesting things is like with like WandaVision or Loki, it was like, oh man, I wish I could stay up to midnight, but I'm going to go to bed. And then, you know, I'd wake up in the morning and be, don't check Twitter. Don't do anything. Let's go watch it. You know what I mean? Whereas She-Hulk is just not that yeah. kind of show for me. It's just like, oh, She-Hulk's happened this morning. And like, I check Twitter. And I'm like, oh, if something gets ruined or they make a joke about something, I don't get pissed about it. I'm like, oh, whatever. I'll get to it. And then I go in and I enjoy the little show. I'll have a cup of coffee or whatever. Like, I feel like my expectations are different for it in terms of what I'm looking for in this MCU show.
No, and I've been that way this whole season. I haven't really. But again, this is like kind of the first Marvel show where I have been let down by it because it isn't super leaning into the grander MCU. I had just been enjoying it episode to episode, but I do think this was still like probably one of the weaker ones. It just wasn't there humor wise for me. Like even other episodes that weren't necessarily forwarding the grander plot forward, they were still hidden a lot with the comedy. And this one just was a little bit weaker. No big deal. But I agree with Joey. Like, yeah, it's like watching episode 14 of season 3 of The Office, or it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot this episode exists because it wasn't really that memorable. But whatever, it's all good. It's just 20-something yeah. minutes. Let's move on to the next
episode
one.
Episode of The Office.
Oh, let us know your favorite yeah. episode awful of The taste. Office season 3 in the comments below. We'll be back later this week with Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, and then next week with all the shows that you expect from us. But until then, I love you all. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, real what? Quick, Nick.
Franklin and
Bash. Where's the skeleton? Where's the skeleton?
Where is it? Oh, oh my God.